Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com.
Calvin Austin III is going to join us at 125.
Hey.
Looking forward to having him here in studio. There's a big concert in Memphis this week. Did you know that?
No.
It's a pretty big one. I think Brad can speak to this, too. Feels like a lot of people are excited about it. Chris Stapleton?
Oh, that's this weekend?
Yeah, it's Friday, I believe. Is it just one night, Brad, or is it two? Just one night only with the big man Chris Stapleton. You know any Chris Stapleton songs?
The Moosa song. And then
that was not a Chris Stapleton song.
And then Tennessee Whiskey.
Yeah, those are the two big ones. Mm-hmm. I think so, right? Say Something.
Who are you asking?
See, Say Something. Do you think he'd play that for us? Like the Moosa remix?
No, that's beneath him.
What's Moosa doing at Oklahoma State, by the way? Is he doing like a, is it worth a song?
Been a little rough.
Has it?
I've had some people send me some stuff. Now, surely he's had some better days.
Let's see.
It's not great. Not what was sent to me.
He's averaging 7-6, which is basically what he was averaging in Memphis.
Bro.
Mm-hmm. He played 14 minutes against Oral Roberts on the 26th.
14?
He
must have been some foul trouble.
He had 14 minutes, 0 points, 6 rebounds. So,
Jesus.
Well, look, I mean, with Moosa, there'd be no Jalen for sure. So, Memphis did win that deal. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I don't think anybody thought when Moosa left that they would be replacing him with Jalen Duren.
No.
You know? Yeah, I don't know if Chris Stapleton's going to play this on Friday. But he should.
Well, you said this is Timberlake's song.
I think it's like a and deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like Justin and Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
Do you look back on this song with pride?
Oh, right. It's not one of my favorites because of it. It's when
you're
you come in
me.
With that.
You're going to blame
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. I knew you were going to blame
it
me.
It is jarring.
Everyone
you are tone deaf.
I am. It's all a condition.
About, oh, I'll stop if it's for real because I don't want it to sound like. That's a fact.
I can't sing.
Okay.
I cannot sing.
Yeah. So it could have been much better.
Still he don't
and
go
to the
there.
Point, I think maybe even Chris would have bought in, called us up on the stage, but once he hears you on there, I think he, you know.
Yeah, we were called to the stage one time. It was at Porktoberfest, and we got booed off the stage. You remember that, man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not long after getting the gig.
Yeah, it was a great welcome.
Great for my confidence.
It was a great welcome. Well, look at you now. You're 5 years into this thing, and you're doing it better than ever, man. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of the way that you have managed to stick in there and do your thing.
Thanks for letting us know about the Chris Stapleton concert.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, it's a pretty big one here in Memphis. You know, Brad, do we think that one will be sold out? What's the consensus there?
Will it?
It's not sold out yet. There are still tickets available.
Wow.
What?
That's a little surprising.
I figured in Tennessee.
All of DeSoto County coming to that thing.
Yeah, I figured with that and the Mississippi folks coming up.
Ticket sales right now, very difficult.
Interesting. People just not getting out,
I think it will be a full house. I don't know if it'll be as full as Luke Combs. But
you
it's
think
gonna,
Luke Combs will be more was going to be is going to be more attended?
No. That
Brad
Luke Combs
was, at
was
Luke Combs.
Last week. It was the biggest attended show I've ever seen at FedEx Forum because it was in the round, okay? They had the floor was full. I mean, that place was loaded up.
Luke Combs bigger than Chris Stapleton.
He hadn't come through. So Chris has been touring quite a bit.
Okay.
Even pre-pandemic, got a few shows
he's
in.
He's been here before?
He's been here before.
Okay, yeah. Luke has never come.
That was the first time I've seen him here.
Wow.
In the round like that at FedEx Forum.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's kind of surprising to me.
But Luke Combs is a rock star. Marcus, this is wild. Marcus, our former intern, lives in New York, went to see Luke Combs at Madison Square Garden two nights ago, and he was texting me from the show.
Does he sell the place like that out?
Yep.
Man, that's crazy.
No, he's huge, dude.
That is
Entertainer of the Year this past year.
Luke Combs, man.
Luke Combs is Zach Myers from Shinedown went to the Luke Combs concert.
Wow. I tell you what, man, I don't get it anymore. I don't know who's big anymore. I don't know who can sell out shows anymore.
That's also the post-pandemic reel. It's true. I mean, like, it's tough to sell things right now because people love that new TV they bought, or they're really comfortable at home, or they're thinking about inflation. There's all this crap going on, man.
I think about inflation every minute of the day. Like, it grips me. Like the college football playoff. Last night, of course, we got our latest ranking of the college football playoff. I don't think you're surprised, Jason, by any of the four.
No, Michigan would be two, and Cincy would hope had it four.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So it is Georgia, it is Michigan, it is Alabama, and it is Cincinnati.
Alabama's the one you could make a case. Do they deserve to stay in there?
Well, that's going to figure itself out.
But you know they want them up in there.
But if Alabama beats Georgia,
right,
that's going to stay the four, right? The order will change, but that'll stay the four, right?
Yes. The thing is, Alabama has no chance. I think even Barrett Jones sort of knows it too.
Yeah.
Because like we talked about, you're not going to be able to block that Georgia front on defense.
You can't just...
There's no way you come off a game like struggling against Auburn, that Iron Bowl, to all of a sudden you're playing well enough to handle that Georgia defense, hadn't given up 100 points total all year. No, you just don't go from ish to shine like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to happen. You don't usually see that.
Yeah.
So they're probably getting manhandled.
Yeah.
They've been a way unlike we've seen in a while.
I think that's ridiculous.
Coach team.
I think that's ridiculous. I think you know it's ridiculous. Yeah, and I think you know it's intellectually dishonest.
Just had to go four OTs with Auburn?
I think you know it's intellectually dishonest.
We shall see. What's the line now? It's going up. It was going up last I looked.
What is it?
So I don't see how it could be intellectually dishonest when it was four at first and it got up to 6.5, and I'm asking you what it is now. Mr. Sportsbook, you're the one that's supposed to know.
What do you think? I just have it tattooed on my forearm?
You're in there all the damn time.
Yeah, I am. What you trying to say? 6.5.
Still 6.5.
6.5 is the spread, which I'm assuming is the low. What was the Georgia-Clemson line, like 3?
I don't remember.
I think it was 3. So it's not even the lowest line that Georgia has seen all year long, but it feels like it kind of, because they've just been rolling everybody.
I wanted to be, and I think as recently as 2 weeks ago, I was here. I was saying there's no way that Nick Saban's going to lose twice. Like, once he gets this opportunity, the SEC championship game, they'll take care of Georgia. That Georgia offense, you know, you'll make it a game, because it's not some overpowering offense that you can't stop. Since then, I've watched Alabama. I watched most of that Iron Bowl game. Could not believe, quite frankly, what I was watching, their inability to block for Bryce.
Yeah.
So how the hell are you going to block Georgia?
Yeah, well.
So again, if unless my eyes were deceiving me, something's going to have to change greatly.
You just think.
And that includes some personnel if they're going to beat Georgia.
You really give Alabama no shot.
Not this year. Not with the way they're playing. Again, most Nick Saban teams getting better, peaking as the year goes on, I'd say yes. But with the way this team's playing right now, I cannot give you that. I don't see it. It's sort of like, you know, tonight you taking Memphis in the 11.5? You lay in 11.5 points, Memphis and Georgia?
I'm not touching it.
No, based on what you've seen. And I feel the exact same way about Alabama based on what I've seen.
You don't sound like somebody that wants to stay away from that. You sound like somebody that wants to lay the 6.5 with Georgia. You sound like somebody that believes in that. You sound like you believe Georgia going to wax that ass.
No, what I'm saying is I used to believe Alabama would win this game. Now I do not. That's what I'm saying. Just like you might have believed at one time Memphis would cover that 11.5 tonight.
I don't think.
And now, based on what you saw against Iowa State, it's a little shaky. It's the exact same thing for me. I was once a believer that Alabama could win this game. I am not anymore.
Well, I think everything you're saying is very reasonable. Everything
I know.
It's rooted in and grounded in reality.
Correct.
But
it's usually where I'm coming from.
You know, I think you have your own agendas a lot of times, and your own sort of, you know, biases a lot of the time. But what I can't overlook in this case is Saban. It's Saban. We know his record. We know his record against former assistants, don't we?
Only Jimbo's got him.
Yes.
I just know the one. What's the other one? 26, 25? What's the number? What's the wins?
I think something like that. Yeah.
You say we know it. I was expecting it to come out of your mouth.
No, we just know that he doesn't do this. We know he doesn't lose to former assistants.
You should have said, Jason, you know it. Yes. I don't know the number.
Somebody
but you know
knows
how
it.
Dominant he's been against.
I don't know.
I know that Jimbo's got the only win.
Somebody around here does.
It's 26-1 or 24-1 or something crazy.
Exactly.
There's only the port number is 1.
I just like, if I were gonna bet the game, I would absolutely take Alabama the points. Yes, I would. Because I just believe that when push comes to shove, a Nick Saban coach team in a big stage is going to get it done.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
And
like
that's what Barrett was selling.
That might be foolish. That might be foolish. That might be incredibly foolish. Right. Because you're right. Georgia's defense is smothering. It's as good a defense maybe as we have ever seen in college football. I think it's in that conversation.
Beasts.
In the modern era, no doubt about it, when everybody scores 55 points a game. So that has got to be said. But, look, you still have a guy in Bryce Young who I believe is like among the most composed quarterbacks in college football. You still have John Mechie. You still have Jameson Williams, who's a big-time playmaker. Now, the one thing that does concern me about this Alabama offense is that whereas in years past, whether it was Najee, whether it was Josh Jacobs, whether it was Derrick Henry, you don't have that dude in the backfield anymore. You know? Like, you don't just have that great running back that Nick Saban usually keeps that can, you know, get you 5 on first down, get you 6 on first down. You know? It is going to all fall on Bryce, and it is going to fall on that offensive line to keep him upright, and that's going to be tough. But if I'm betting it, I just think everybody's overreacting. It's a freaking rivalry game, man. It's a rivalry game.
In Athens, they have all the advantages.
They do have
all
the advantages.
And again, it's against an Alabama team that's not peaking.
Do you not give Alabama the coaching advantage?
This year? I mean, look, Kirby's got him. Kirby seems like he's got him right where he wants him this year.
I mean, that Georgia offense, come on, man. Like, they can be had.
It's good enough is the key, right? That's not the dominant
Alabama
side.
Needs, like, a special teams touchdown. That's what they need. They need to, like, make something happen in the special teams. And if they do that, they might win the game outright. I just can't believe we've gotten to a point now where all of a sudden, like, we're just giving a Nick Saban coach team no chance to win in the SEC title.
It's a tip of the
game.
Cap to what Georgia's accomplished this year, and it's trusting our eyeballs. We've all watched Alabama, John.
Are you,
and they're not that old Alabama dominant this season.
Are you,
it's just different.
Are you willing to acknowledge that
rooted in reality, like
maybe
you
are allowing the lackluster performance in a win against.
I watched all of it, and it's like you're not going from 1 week to now.
You're allowing it to pollute.
It's all fixed.
Your viewpoint.
The point is, John, you're not blocking that Georgia front. Now, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Is Cincinnati going to make this thing?
They better.
It feels like
God.
Looks like Herb Street's going to be right that all they had to do was just win out, and everything else around it would sort of fall into place, and they would. Take their spot as the first group of five to make the playoff.
If Cincinnati does not beat Houston this weekend, it is a slap in the face to every group of five team that had to die for you to get here.
That's an interestingly put.
Yes.
Yeah. If they don't beat Houston, it's a slap to everybody that helped put you here in this spot.
Yeah, all the group of five teams that
Cincy
that were,
don't owe them, folks.
I know they don't.
Since he took care of its business and won at Indiana and at Notre Dame and everywhere.
You know, it's years and years and years and years and years and years and years of hearing Mike Oresko bitch, won't moan, complain. You
that's
know,
his
and
job.
And other and other teams like Cincinnati not come close, right? Maybe in years where they should have. UCF is national champions because they beat Auburn. It's a slap in the face if you don't do this, if you don't finish the job and get in. Now, what's going to happen when you get in? You're going to get your ass beat. But you have to break through. You got to get in. If you lose to Houston, it is a congressional crime. And Luke Fickell should be fired.
No.
Absolutely.
They would never do that.
Absolutely. Yes, they're going to make it. They have to make it. You're going to let Houston keep you from it? That would be awful. Doesn't Houston need to lay down? Because don't you get paid? Doesn't the conference get paid if, like, they make the playoffs? I'm just like the tournament. I'm assuming there are units that get distributed to the conference. So Houston needs to lose for the league. There needs to be a call made. Hey, don't you dare try to win this game.
That's interestingly, again, interesting thought there, but no way Houston's looking at it like that.
Well,
no.
They need to.
And I'm sure they do get something.
Because you fumble in the bag if you go out there and win this game. you're costing everybody. Memphis don't get no money.
Again, they don't give a damn about the Power Five because both of them are getting out. So why do they?
They're going to be here next year. They're still going to be here next year.
They don't get no.
They're not getting
they're
that much more
on.
Money.
They're here in spirit and in form, yeah, but they're moving
they're
on.
They're not getting that much more money.
They don't feel like they owe a damn thing to the rest of the AAC.
Oh, they do. As long as you're a member of this friggin' league, you deserve. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Houston needs to lay down. I think this is going to be the four, though. I absolutely think this is going to be the four.
Well, Michigan can't have a letdown.
I don't think they're going to. I mean,
I don't know.
Iowa?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's Iowa.
I know. 77% chance to beat them, according to ESPN.
Iowa
FBI.
Can't score.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Michigan's making the playoff.
They're used to letdowns up there in Ann Arbor after what feels like big moments or great teams.
Well,
I would not be shocked.
I say this is going to be the four, but, I mean, obviously if Alabama loses, they will not be in the top four. So then I guess it becomes a matter of, you know, Oklahoma State.
If they win.
Oklahoma State's good, man. I know Lincoln Riley was, you know, 1 foot out the door there, you know, during Bedlam, clearly. But, like, that quarterback is good. They have a good defense. They made plays when they had to against Oklahoma. Like, that's tough to do. That Oklahoma team is good.
They just need Georgia beat Alabama, and them and Cincinnati will go in.
Yes.
I don't know what you guys think. You know, you see this Notre Dame team and some of the havoc that could happen here if Michigan loses, Cincy loses. I mean, you could get yourself into a real interesting situation, and Alabama lost too, right? You know, if those three.
That's your path for Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, that's the
people
that's
talking about that. I just don't. It's not
very unlikely to happen. All three. I think the Michigan is the most likely of the three.
Be
right?
Great for those Notre Dame kids that John just feels so
wild.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, deep down in your soul, you feel for them.
Oh, yeah, that 2 minute meeting.
What a story would be for
that
them.
That 2 minute meeting with his players.
You hate Brian Kelly so much.
I hate the way he left so much. I do. I think the way he left was piss poor.
You're right there.
You didn't like him, though, yesterday. You said he's not a nice person.
Jeff read the entire transcript of the meeting, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And he said what you want him to say.
Well, what's the transcript?
Which is basically, you kids put me in the position to be like this.
Yes.
I'll always love you and thank you very much, and now I'm out of here.
You ain't getting a damn dime.
And he didn't take any questions, which, again, goes back to his arrogance.
Well, like, what questions is there, right?
Well, you'd shake a couple hands and tell them, guys, I love you to death. I'm going to miss you. You'd hug a couple necks, wouldn't you? Instead of just turning around walking out. But seeing that some of those guys would look at that as fake, he just said, you know what, I'll cut it short. But anyway, I thought what he said was the right thing. He could have just said, hey, y'all are going to go win a national championship.
Yep.
We did a lot together. I'm out. But he said basically,
peace.
He kind of said, you players have put me in this position to be able to take a
once-in-a-lifetime
opportunity.
You players have helped me.
It's what you need. It's what you got to say.
Make $95 million. You get none. Thank you.
There was no way with a story that big you were going to be able to control it if you were Brian Kelly.
You could try.
Oh, send the kids a text sooner before the story breaks?
Yes.
No.
If it's going to get out, bro, it's going to get out. Who cares who leaks it? At least you took that. You said, guys, this is happening very fast, and it's probably going to break at any moment. But I need you to know this. I am leaving.
Lincoln Riley told his kids he wasn't
leaving.
Taking LSU.
He didn't take LSU.
Right.
He took USC.
Right. But that was cool. No, it's not.
He didn't lie.
I thought that was pretty coy.
He was asked
to me,
LSU.
It's just as backhanded. He's asked about it, and the kids probably think so too. Okay, our man's staying.
Yeah.
And he ups and goes. To me, my point is that this always happens.
Yeah.
Always get to this level.
Well,
you know what?
We can ask.
Somebody's feelings
everybody's
always
going
to be hurt.
Pissed off.
We can ask. You know, this is. We can ask Calvin Austin about this because
interesting.
Mike Norvell left. How did he handle it?
Yeah.
Right. Like, how was that handled? Because Calvin Austin was obviously a member of that team.
Well, I wonder with that one if it's any different. You're right. It'll be great to have him on and ask him because with Norvell, the funny thing was if I'm going to play, if I'm going to run track for y'all, Norvell's got to make me a walk on.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So there was never any I guess we gotta go back and look and find out. I guess he got his scholarship. I guess he did get it under Norvell, though. But he might feel a certain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That bond with Norvell. At first, he didn't have a scholarship from Norvell. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So that feeling of you know, him going or leaving, you know, that might have had some impact on that, on how he does for you.
Yeah.
Because he had two coaches, started as a walk-on.
Robert Dillingham, five-star guard that Memphis was involved with. I think Petty checked on him. He's at Donda Academy there with Kanye West. He committed to NC State.
Folks were acting like that.
They're getting the other one now. They're getting Zion Cruz, the other kid, the other guard there. So they'll be fine.
Okay.
So, but Rob too shifty. I'm not gonna see him at Memphis. Going to have to watch him at NC State on the ACC network, which I do believe is returning to Xfinity, which is good news for Xfinity customers. Anyway.
NC State.
Yeah. Who's the coach there? Oh, it's Keats, right? It's Keats.
It took me a second.
It's your brother there.
That's a good deal, by the way. The ACC, you just mentioned that story as an aside.
Yes.
Like, that was not in my prior package.
Well, now it is.
Like, that's a lot of eyeballs in the South for the ACC.
That's right.
On that package.
That's right. All right, when we come back, Calvin Austin III going to be in studio. We'll talk to him about his career at Memphis, his plans coming up, his future. Lots to get to with Can't Catch Cal. He's up next. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
ESPN.
Jason and John Guests appear via the Landmark Heating and Air phone line, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hometown hero, one of my favorites over the last several years over there at Memphis Football. Now a unanimous first-team All-AAC member, deservedly so. He is the great Calvin Austin III. Can't Catch Cal. He's in the building. He joins us now. Calvin, what's up, man?
What's up? What's up? It's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Long overdue. So how's everything, man?
Everything's great. It's a lot going on just with, you know, with the end of the season stuff and just finishing up this long season. But everything's going good, just getting everything settled right now.
Everybody probably want to know about your health as well. Now you've been playing a little banged up. How are you doing?
I'm doing much better. With that ankle versus Temple, I guess, it was very early on in the season. So, and with those ankle injuries, being a receiver, it makes it kind of even more harder to stay healthy because all you're doing is cutting and stuff like that. So,
yep.
Each week it'll get better. I know versus SMU, I had a little setback because, the second, third play of the game,
yep,
ended up getting re-injured. But after that, just, you know, each week is getting better and better for sure.
Your season, you know, obviously you have the Hawaii Bowl, and I know we'll get to that in just a minute. But, you know, now that, you know, it is, the regular season is done and your regular season career at Memphis is over, like, how do you sort of just begin to compartmentalize and look back on your time at Memphis?
I still feel like I haven't, you know, I still feel like I waited a little more time to just, like, really realize, like, what all I did and did there, and like how special it is, because like I tell most people, like, it was my dream to come here and play for Memphis. So, you know, being able to do what I did and just feel like the love that the city showed, it's just like you can't really put it into words, because like when I was little, I grew up and I like imagined it being like it, but sometimes like once you actually see it happen and you like feel it, it's just still hard to put into words. So I'm just super blessed.
So you must have wanted it really bad. You must have dreamed it a ton of being a Tiger, being out on the field and sort of being the contributor that you ended up being, because you didn't get the scholarship offer initially. And you had other schools, or at least Ivy League schools, I think, were interested as well. So why? So I guess, and it was a question you answered then, but it must have meant a ton to you just to play here, to take that opportunity. Because because it's different. You're not coming in as a scholarship guy. You're having to earn everything. Why was that so important to do with the hard work?
So growing up, just going to the Tiger games, and, you know, that's when you could get a ticket and you could sit front row. All you had to do was just get a ticket. You can move. You can move wherever because there's no one at the game.
Go to the front. Right.
Leave halftime.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's just, you know how to do it. And yep. So just watching.
So true.
And watching D'Angelo Williams kind of change, like, the whole outlook of Memphis football and that culture. Like, me being young at that time, I'm like, I want to do exactly what he did for Memphis, for Memphis. And so going into my senior year, that's when I was, you know, like I had said, I had went to camps in the 9th, 10th, 11th grade at Memphis multiple times a year sometimes. So I was like, and I would always have like run a really fast 40,
yep.
Do good one-on-ones, all that stuff. So I was like, I know a scholarship offer is going to come eventually.
Yep.
And so not getting one, that was a very humbling and just kind of like frustrating because
you were a name in town, brother. We all knew.
And that's exactly how, and look, and back then I'm young, mostly I'm more arrogant. I'm like, I'm one of the best athletes in the city. Like one of the first thing I thought of was how would it look if I was choosing to walk on at Memphis? Mm. Like that was the one thing that constantly played in my head. And so,
like, there's a negative connotation with that.
Yeah, like,
I'm better than a walk-on.
Yeah, because I was just thinking about people going to say how he's getting all these track records, doing good in football, all this stuff, but he's walking on at Memphis. And so, you know, it really took a talking to my dad and my family and just saying that was my pride speaking. And, you know, when it comes to college, something that I'll tell younger guys who are deciding is, you should go to a place where you want to be because college is hard and college football is extremely hard. So if you go to a place where you really don't want to go, that is going to make your life that much more difficult. So I think it all worked out perfectly just to get there, being a walk-on.
Right.
It kind of gave me that edge where, like, I wasn't coming in as if, like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm like, expected to come here. No, I had something to prove when I first got on campus.
Did you have walk-on offers from other places, or what did that look like?
No, I didn't have any walk-ons from, like, bigger schools.
Did you go to, like camps out of town, or not really?
I went to Arkansas State camp. I played DB there. Man, I was upset at that one because I had, like, and that's actually crazy, like, coming, a lot of the camps that I went to, I went as cornerback because I just was like, most of growing up, I was thinking I may be a corner, like a little slot corner, something mm-hmm. like that. And so I had like 5 picks there. They talked to the DB coach. They said they're going to talk to me and stuff. Didn't hear anything back. Middle Tennessee State, that was another camp that I went to. Well, that I like was talking to the coaches. They were like, come up to the camp. I did that, performed well, stayed after, threw with the quarterback that was the starter for the team. And then they were like, yeah, we'll keep in touch. Didn't hear anything back. So really the only schools that I was just like seriously looking at was like Ivy League schools like Columbia, yep. Harvard, and Penn. And we actually went going into my senior year that summer to go visit those schools.
You know,
wow.
A lot of times, I think John and I have both done this, we've said kind of like Anthony Miller, you know, walk on who the great story, who earns the scholarship, goes on to greatness, goes down as one of the greatest ever. So we talk about the similarities between the two stories. But I wonder, it almost seems like yours is more unlikely because I know Miller doesn't have the 6'2", you know, we're not talking about Julio, but he didn't face the same kind of size questions that you have all of your life. Your story feels even more like the differences between y'all two. We focus on the similarities, but how many differences are there between you and Anthony's story?
Yeah, I about to say that the size would be a mm-hmm. very big difference. I mean, coming out of high school, you would probably say he was more college ready in terms of size, you know, and can compete. Coming out of high school is crazy. Like I was like 5'9", 140.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I was – and it's crazy because, like, at our weigh-in – well, one of the first days we weighed in, like, I tried to drink, like, three, four water bottles before.
I know you did.
Just to try to get – like,
to 142,
like it would matter. I say, like, it would matter. Like, it would even matter. But, yeah, and I know he had got put on scholarship, I think, after his, like, first season, after mm-hmm. killing the guys on scout team and stuff and like that. And then one of the other differences is, like, a lot of people – thought of me, and I think probably some of the coaches as well. Like, it was unbeknownst to me at the time, but I was looked at as more of a track
guy. You a track guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, you see by his side and stuff. So like, he just can play his football. But in my head, I loved football. Like, football was my, like, that's where I wanted to.
Right.
When I was talking to the coach, I was like, regardless of what school I go to, like, I'll, yes, I'll run track, but I'll have to be able to play football. If you can't guarantee me that I can play football, then I'm not, there's no point in me going to the school, because that's the main sport I wanted to play. And so that is something that I had to just continually just work at, push, and just kind of just really, you got to prove it on the field to show them that, no, I'm a football player.
You know, it's funny, like on the basketball side, like, feels like Amani Bates, for example, has improved to NBA scouts and teams that, like, he can, like, he's a good passer, good facilitator. Yep. I'm assuming the big thing for you, the big stigma for you, is to prove that you're a football player and not just a straight line speed guy.
Exactly.
Do you feel like you you accomplished that at Memphis?
Most definitely. Starting off, when I first got there, like, you could probably say I was just a track guy in terms of, like, being being a football player, specifically a receiver. My hands weren't good. Routes, I didn't have I didn't know about stems, coverages, all that. Like, I knew about general football just from watching it, but I didn't know the details that were like that you needed to succeed, especially in college when there's a lot more faster, stronger, you know, smarter people where those details really matter. And so while I was at Memphis, from my first year there to now, like, it's just been a tremendous amount of growth in terms of physically and mentally, just about what I know about the game. And so I definitely would say that, like, I've become a more complete receiver, and definitely put aside that track.
When did it become, like, when did it hit you that, because obviously last year was your breakout year, right? When did it become, like, apparent that was going to happen for you? Like, I'm about to do this at an unbelievably high level.
I would say probably after the SMU game. The SMU game that year is kind of
game, I think, day. Would that have been game day?
No, it was that 20. Well, the COVID year, I would say.
Oh, okay, got you. Last,
like,
year,
going
you.
In, I was already expecting that 2020. I would have I feel like 2019. I scored four touchdowns or something. So I kind of burst onto the scene a little bit there. Yeah, so I was like, in 2020, you know, we still have Kenny and Coxie, but now and Snag, but I was like, okay, but now I'm gonna be one of the guys for sure now, you know.
Yep.
Going in. And so after SMU game, I kind of had a big game, but really I kind of skipped a part, but when Kenny opted out, I was like, okay, I know my role is gonna be a little bigger.
Yep.
And then after SMU, I had a good game. I was feeling good, you know. I was like, okay, this was my first time starting and actually having a good quality game. But then after Coxie opted out, that's when everything was like, okay, it's either in my head, it was either make or break. Like, you got your time now where you're the guy. You wanted that. You wanted to be the guy since high school again.
Right.
So now's your opportunity to show that if you're really capable and can fulfill that role. And so after the UCF game, I kind of was like, yeah, I can. I got this. I can do this.
How excited are you? How excited is the team about Hawaii and being back in the spot, keeping the streak going 8 straight now with bowls?
Yeah, I'm about to say, I think that was probably the most important part, just to keeping that streak alive, because, you know, each team has some carryover from the guys before, so, like, you know all the players and stuff, and just to know how much hard work they put in for us to be in this position to have that streak and stuff. We want to just continue that for Memphis. You know, we don't want to go back to the days of like we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So, but knowing that it is Hawaii, I mean, you know, for us it's. I know since I've been, besides the Cotton Bowl, we've been going to, like, Birmingham or Montgomery.
We don't need to go back to Alabama.
I think I've been to Birmingham maybe twice, I want to say. So, it's like.
It's terrible.
Yes. And so to be able to.
It's like my personal mission to, like, never go back to Birmingham. Yeah.
And so, most definitely when we heard Hawaii, like, that's obviously, from coming from Memphis, that's a whole different thing, and Hawaii's beautiful. So
go ahead.
I was gonna say, in terms of you, have you made a choice on whether you're gonna play in Hawaii or not? Where does that sort of? Because obviously you have the health issue now.
Yes, sir. So we're still looking over just to make sure what's best for my been best for my health. And, you know, one of the best things about that is just, like, how my teammates have handled it. They're just consistently encouraging me, supporting me, saying, like, look, they'll tell me before I tell myself, like, make sure you do what's best for you. Like, we want to see you succeed.
No doubt.
Probably more than you. So I'm like, just to have their encouragement and stuff, it makes that decision a lot more easy.
See, I'm glad y'all went here, because I was thinking about Big Pat. Mm-hmm. He wanted to play, so apparently on a procedure, but he, like you, you got NFL, you know, and that you got to consider too. But he took a procedure to get back rather than maybe something that would have helped him get fully healthy because he wanted to play. And playing through it seems like it's been just as important to you, man, those men in there and being part of that. But that other part, when you have to weigh your future, I imagine there's a lot that's got to go into those decisions.
And yes, a lot. And those are like, it's super tough because, like you said, like, and especially being at Memphis, like, our locker room and, like, our, like, the guy relationship is just, like, it's different. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but even when guys transfer from other schools, they're like, being at, like, Memphis, like, it's just different. Like, you just, you're really a true family. And so, like, I think that's what, like, kind of me and Pat were probably on the same mindset of, like, you can't get these moments back with these guys.
Yep.
And, like,
I got you.
It's just something that, like, it's very special. And so to be able to just go out there and compete with them is something, like we said, that we won't get back, and something that we're at the point where, like, as long as I'm not going to, I guess, further damage it extremely, you know,
or if
I can still go out there and help, then it's something that I'll do instead of riding off and playing it 100% safe.
What's bothering you right now? What's kind
ankle?
It's your ankle, yeah.
Right ankle. Yes, sir.
Yeah. We're talking to Calvin Austin III, Memphis wide receiver, here in studio. What did you think about Seth? I mean, it's interesting because you have two opposites. You had Brady White, who'd been in college forever, and then you had Seth Hennigan, who was a true freshman. I don't think anybody expected him to be the guy,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And circumstances forced that. What did you make of him and playing with him?
I loved playing with Seth. The first thing I got to say is he is a dog. Like, he had, like, toughness. Like, you wouldn't even just meeting him or just, like, his personality, you really wouldn't sense it.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy because, like, I say I'm old. I know I'm not. But just in terms of seeing, like, the freshman come in, like, he's still a kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? But
yep.
He just, like, throughout the game, like, I know the fans probably wouldn't even know, or anybody who just watches, but Seth gets, like, he has been beat up. You know, but I'm like, Seth, are you good? Like, I'm good. I'm good. Like, no matter what, he get up limping, get up. He's not if it's a third down, he's not, he's diving for it. He's trying to juke, break a tackle. And so it's just been a pleasure to play to play with him, just because, you know, since I'm a senior, and it's always different when you get older. The importance factor is just, And the seriousness of it is just different.
Right.
But to have a guy like that I know is going to fight as much as he can and give 110%, you can't really ask for much more. And he's just super smart. In his room, he has, like, a big old board, all the plays and stuff like that. So, you know,
He just lives and breathes it.
Yeah. So you can tell that it really means something to him. And so,
like, a lot of freshmen will probably like Call of Duty, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like it would be a joke. But he has it where, like, he's gonna give it, and, like, being a senior, that's all I can ask for, you know. I mean, I know mistakes are gonna happen. He's gonna do some stuff. I mean, that's everybody, and it's especially freshmen. So, you know, as long as I know that I got your all, that's all I can ask for. So yeah, I love playing with Seth.
I don't want to steal your question, but I'm so curious as the answer. I want you to that Norvell question.
As long as everybody knows who it came from.
Well, because you said in the team,
yeah,
but that
absolutely.
Norvell question.
No, go
the
ahead,
transition,
man. Go ahead.
Man. How were you when Norvell left? We were just talking about Brian Kelly and whether you owed it to those Notre Dame players to tell him rather than send a group text. And he did the in-person meeting later, but John got all hot, all in all. Brian Kelly's an ass. He owes him more than that.
Yes.
Just that transition from Norvell to Silverfield, what was it like in between, and what was that communication between y'all and Norvell like?
The response when we – well, it's crazy because after we won conference,
mm-hmm,
you could kind of tell on his face. Like, he was
different.
Yeah, he was obviously super happy, but it would almost look to me that, like, he was hurt. Like, he just has saw, like, how much, like, the city's going crazy. Like, everybody's on the field, and he's just like, and this obviously just something that hadn't been done in a long time to win an outright conference.
Right.
You could kind of tell on his face it was just, like, hurt. Like, I just did this for this city, all this love, and, like, yeah, I already obviously signed, was going to go to Florida State at that time. It wasn't just out yet, but it had been rumored, so we kind of knew where it was headed, because we thought, well, it may have been like the past year or maybe 2 years. Each time toward the end, it would
You're
be
right.
rumored
where
like
it came up all
yeah,
time,
if he's going. So like right. we knew that at some point, like you can't. I mean. Be that good of a coach here and then not have other big schools yeah. throwing more money at you. But, you know, the response was kind of, you know, up and down. You know, you have some people that are like, well, why he's leaving us? Mm-hmm. That's messed up, this and that. And then other people kind of, you know, like happy for him. That's a new opportunity, new job. He served. He did what he came here to do. He won us a conference championship.
And he did it after the championship
yeah,
game. The season was over. Notre Dame
That's
could
true.
Still be
yes.
in the playoffs.
Uh-huh, right.
It'd be like him leaving y'all.
Oh, yeah,
the title
that would
game.
Be, yeah, that would be kind of, yeah, I'd be like, dang. And but, like, our response, like, me personally, I was happy for him. I mean, he gave me, like, it's crazy because Norvell, he gave 110% every single day. So you knew you got your all out of him, and he coached you the best he could. And honestly, he helped me improve a lot. So I say the response were mixed. I mean, you know, you have guys that were mad, but most of the guys I think were pretty understanding about the whole situation.
We're talking to Memphis wide receiver Calvin Austin III here, wrapping up his Memphis football career and headed on to the NFL draft. That's a hopeful in terms of that process.
Right.
Where are you in that process?
So right now, since it's the end of the season, you know, we're just trying to figure out agent, where I'll train and all that stuff.
Yep.
Getting back healthy, all that. It's definitely a lot, but it's definitely the spot where I want to be at. And hopefully God can guide me and I make the right decisions, because though there is going to be a lot of tough decisions to be made. But
yep.
I'm just very excited to just go forward and enjoy that whole process.
I don't know how you keep yourself grounded, man, when you got this chance now, especially with
man,
what you
no doubt.
Coming from, like, the out the mud, like you made it happen, Mr. Oh, no, he's a track guy. He's not a football guy, to where you are now and having this chance to play on Sundays. How are you keeping it all grounded and everything else?
Really, because my parents, you know, they keep me grounded for sure. But and then it's an understanding that, you know, I get to be in this position where I'm at now from working.
Being hungry and working.
From being hungry and working. Like, I didn't,
you can't
wasn't
let
giving.
That go.
Yeah, I can't let that go. And I know that if I want to achieve those big goals, I have to take that to a whole another level.
Yeah.
So it's just about just honestly remembering where you came from and keeping that mindset and not letting all the – because that's why, like, I know a lot of people throughout the season would be like, oh, are you keeping – do you see where you're ranked in this or what award list? And I'm just like, yes, like, I'm very thankful and stuff, but that, like, it does nothing for me personally. Like, that's just the stuff that comes with the work that's put in.
Yeah.
So it's just like I need to put in – to get more of that stuff. It's just more
gotta
work.
Keep doing what you've been doing.
Yes, sir.
Was that play against Mississippi State your favorite of your football career?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
I mean,
you have to say it is,
even if it's not. like
it probably is for sure.
Just like what was going through your mind?
So look, like we talk about it just from since the first time I got here in meetings and from like being a punt returner. Like that's the one moment you like live for. It's like it's that moment, and then if the punter like kicks it, if the team's covering right, they kick it the wrong direction, the wind pulls it or something, and you can
yep.
pretty easy. But that's one of those moments where like you always talk about, but in your whole career you may never get
happen.
That opportunity. So really, it was just the fact of when I saw it happen, like as soon as the dude had saved it, I'm like, I already knew that like. That's like that was a tell. Like, okay, if he doesn't, like, the ball is live, you know. And then when I saw the guy just touch it, like, it was just an instant. Like, it wasn't thinking or anything. Like
and instincts.
Instincts. And then what's crazy was like I had to when I went back and watched it, I didn't know there was like two or three guys like right by the ball.
Yeah.
And I like weaved through. To me, in my head, it looked like it had felt like in the moment that the guy had touched it. walked away, and mm-hmm. I was like the only one by it.
Oh, no.
So I didn't see no other. But I watched it back. I said, "Oh, that was."
You had a tunnel vision.
Yeah, I had a tunnel. I had a real tunnel vision. Yeah. So I was about to say. So then once I got it, I just ran toward our sideline. And once I ran, I was running toward our sideline because I was like, all our players were like running off the field, thinking the play was over almost. But I'm like, as long as I run to them, I'll have a few blockers.
There's no whistle?
Yeah, no whistle. I was like, I'm just going to run to them.
No doubt.
Have them help block for me, and we get in the end zone.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
That was a highlight, no doubt about it. He is the great Calvin Austin III.
Pleasure,
congrats on a great career, man. And we know only good things are ahead.
Yes, sir.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.